Up John 6:63. Really powerful scripture. Here we go. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. The words that I speak to you, this is so powerful. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So when you're sitting under anointed ministry and the word of the Lord is going forth, it's a combination of the word and the spirit. And there's an impartation, all right, from the Holy Spirit, and it produces life. How many think that's pretty cool? Absolutely. That's why, but you know, and it can be in a corporate setting like now or Sunday, or it can be just when we're out walking and talking or just spending quiet time with the Lord. His word will transform us. Let's look at, I'm going to share a couple really cool scriptures with you here along these same lines. Let's look at Isaiah 45:11. Boy, this is a scripture that's been misinterpreted, but it's powerful. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, you command me. That stumped a lot of people. How many know we can't, in one sense, we can't command God, right? He's God. But whatever he has initiated, whatever he has established, that we can command. Can you say amen? We can command healing because he's already secured it for us through the blood of Jesus. Same thing with prosperity or any of the promises of God. Go ahead and command. Speak it. Be forceful. Lean over and tell your neighbor, be forceful. Let's look at Acts 3:6. Acts 3:6. Very powerful. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have at the gate beautiful, but what I do have, what I do have. I mean, no, we skip over that sometimes. Lean over and tell your neighbor, what I do have. Peter wouldn't, you know, he wasn't being super spiritual. He was telling it like it is. But what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How many know every one of you, how many are filled with the Spirit today? All right, so you have the gifts of the Spirit, all of them in potential inside of your spirit. And when you minister to people, how many know there'll be a release? A release of God. There's something, how many know that God works differently in different folks? One of the ways that I found through the years that the Lord has worked with me, I will go into a hospital room or I'll be at the altar and somebody will come down here for prayer. And I will take their hand, and it's like just before they came up, I wasn't sure what to say. But as soon as I take their hand, boom, the Holy Spirit shows me, gives me revelation, gives me understanding. And even the prayer that I pray, I hadn't intended to pray, but it was exactly what they needed. Can you say amen? And so God will use you. He will operate in the gifts of the Spirit the way he chooses to through you, but you got it. You just need to yield to however he wants to use that, okay? That's a good time to say amen. I know this might be a lot to digest, but anyway, God put it at your disposal. The gifts of God are without repentance, and they're at your disposal. Ooh, Jesus, love it. That means, see, we got to be good stewards. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you're a good steward. 1 Peter 2:24, let's look at that one. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you will be healed in the future. No, by whose stripes you what? Were healed. You know, when I had this issue, this problem, as it turned out, the heart thing was a small one, but it was. And, you know, they said, well, you got a light plaque, but you can deal with that later. See you in the end of May, you know. But possible surgery, yeah. But the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to look at it, and I want you to address it and speak it in the past tense. Past tense. You may have had it, but now I took it. So it's past tense. Well, Pastor Dave, how can you say that? Well, how about this for a starter, right? Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, how many have already died to sin, right, might live for righteousness. That's why you're walking in salvation. By whose stripes you were healed. We got to get the past tense thing. Got to get it. You've already got it. So why are you trying to get it? Sound like Andrew Womack, right? But I think that's good. I think that's a good thing. And just a few really cool things. Every 3 days I go and get my hemoglobin measured, you know. But on March 27th, when I was in the hospital, it was right around 7-7. When I went into, on March 27th, they measured it was 9-4. So it was a big jump. And then March 31st, last Friday, just before Sunday, was measured again, 9-6. Without any, it's just on its own. It's on its own. I mean, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. Kimberly, come on.
Yeah, because it's past tense. It's already gone. Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, I have all spiritual blessings that Christ has given to me. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're gonna look at Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in River of Life Church. Lord, I thank you for my pastors, and I thank you for Pastor Dave and Pastor Ina and the other pastors that work here in this house and all of the leadership and those who work here hand by hand with us here in the ministry. Father, I thank you, God, that you would bless them during this season, Father, and God, that you would cause your unity to flow like a powerful river in this house, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm just going to give you just a little bit of background. Paul, he knew how powerful the church was. And Paul had one mission, and that was to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here in the book of Ephesians, there's a couple words that I found that are used all over Ephesians. And the first one is glory. The second word that's found there a lot is the body. And the third word that's found a lot in Ephesians is heavenly places. Say, I live in heavenly places. Paul says that we are seated in heavenly places with the Lord, right? Also, while Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he was in prison. But he was deeply stirred by the revelation of the church as Christ's body and how powerful the body of Christ is when we flow in unity. Look at your neighbor and say, we are powerful. When we flow in unity. There's nothing that God won't do for the church when we flow together in that capacity. Amen. Amen? That means putting every little silly little thing aside, every little thought that we might think aside, and coming into the body as one mind. Amen? And the purpose of the book of Ephesians, if you've ever done a study on this, the purpose of it is that it unveils the mystery of the church. And say with me, I am the church. Yes, God's secrets are actually revealed to the body and also to the expressed fullness of the body of Christ here on earth. And Paul knew that God came to empower and to equip the church. Say, that's me. Yeah, so he knew the importance of how powerful we really are. And I just want to read, we're going to take a look at Ephesians 1, and we're going to read all the way to the 23rd verse, and then we're going to break this chapter down. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Thank you, Jesus. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Say, I've been sealed. Yes. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is Paul. This is the revelation that Paul wants the church of Jesus Christ to get. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritances in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness, say your name there, what is the exceeding greatness towards Kimberly, to his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now when he visited Ephesus, when he had to leave there, he wrote a farewell letter to them in the book of Acts. And he was grieving because he had to leave Ephesus. He knew how powerful the Christians were in that place. They were up against idolatry in this city. It was crazy in this town where Ephesus is. But he wanted the people to know there, the Christians to know there, Jew and Gentile. He wanted them to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So I think sometimes the church, we fail to recognize the power of Jesus Christ that we have living and dwelling on the inside of us. It destroys every form of darkness. It destroys every form of sickness. It destroys every accusation, every condemnation, everything that comes against you. The power of Jesus Christ working on the inside of you destroys that. And so he wanted the believers at Ephesus to know that, and he wants us to know that today. God is saying, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? We believe, right? We believe according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. We're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he is seated at the right hand side of the Father. So somehow in our thinking and in our flesh and in our spirit, we've got to understand that we are seated with him there too. So in the spirit realm, that's where we are. We may come in here on Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection in physical body and form, but our spirit is with him in heavenly places, seated with him where he's at. So there, every spiritual blessing you've already obtained, you already have it. So if we're seated with him in the spirit realm in heavenly places, then there's nothing that the enemy can do to us. The enemy actually is under our feet. Amen. So we are seated with him. So right now at this moment, our born again spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places. Therefore, that makes us a powerful people, doesn't it? That makes us powerful. His mighty works and acts he delivered in us, they work and dwell on the inside of you and me. So we can say to the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. We can tell him to stay underneath my feet. We can tell him the wiles of the devil, the arrows that he shirts. We can tell him that we have therefore no condemnation to those who walk in Christ Jesus. So we have the power of Jesus Christ living and dwelling on the inside of us. And every single blessing that God has given to the church, we already have. So look at your neighbor and say, we already have it. Everything. We already have it. It's already been a done deal. Okay. So far above, can I go back there? Okay. 21. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. far above all principality and power and might and dominion every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which to come. Thank you, Jesus. And he put all things under his feet and gave to him to be head over all things to the church. How many know he's the head of the church and we're the body, right? And he puts people in the church. So that's another message. But he puts people in the church, pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. And he puts them in the church for what? To guard over the church, to teach the church until we come into the full unity. That's in Ephesians 4. Okay, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All right. Hallelujah. So I'm excited to bring this message to you. I love this message because we already have this. These blessings are already ours, but sometimes we need to be reminded of them. We get in this busy life that we have, or we have things that are happening inside of us, and God is working his work in us on a daily basis, but we need to remind ourselves that we already have these blessings in the Lord. And so when we are down or when the enemy seems to be coming after us, we need to remind ourselves who we are in Jesus Christ. And we need to remind ourselves, most importantly, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. And I think if the church could really get a hold of that, the church would become a real powerhouse for Jesus Christ. So when you get a hold of you're already seated with him, then the gospel takes a whole new light. Because you're seated with him, the good news is flowing out of your mouth, signs and wonders are following you because that's what he sees. That's what he does through you and I. Okay. So did I put in Romans up there? Did I put Romans in? I want to read Romans to you too, real quick. And I just want to read Romans 5 through 9. Okay, there, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, Romans 5, 1 through 9. Yeah. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And I believe that persecution's going to come to the church. I believe we're seeing bits of it right now. We're seeing that in our nation right now. But hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you and me. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. I believe this is a powerful scripture. We are justified by the blood of Jesus. We have been reconciled to God by the death of his son. And now how much more we received abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, we shall reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. In Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Say that with me. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Yes, the Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he uphold. I put in here just a couple words. I put, God illuminates, he invigorates, he warms, he sustains life like the sun. He protects and defends all who trust in him. Just like a shield in the hand of a mighty man is God shining through his church. Just like that. So he illuminates you and I. He invigorates you and I. He sustains you and I. He protects you and I. He defends you and I because we trust in him. Amen? Yes. So I want to just break this down just a little bit for you. Number one. He has blessed us, and your first fill-in is, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And that's Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And these blessings, I believe, are the doctrines of the gospel. They're the full graces and gift of the Spirit. One translation, I believe it's the Passion Translation, says that we are literally wrapped into Christ. That's who we are. So we're wrapped up in him. There was just an old-time gospel song. I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus. I'm wrapped up, I'm tied. Remember that song? It's a cute one, right? That's all I remember. But I remember that we were wrapped up and tied up. I'm tangled up in Jesus. Yeah, so we've been wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in him. Number two, he has chosen us to be holy. Look, there's nothing you can do to make yourself more holy or more righteous than what you are right now. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the one who didn't know sin became sin for us. He was the one who says that you are holy. So there's nothing more that you can do. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, there's nothing more that you need to do to make yourself more righteous, because you already are. Your sins were forgiven past, now, and in the future. So this is a done deal. So you look at your neighbor and say, I am the righteousness of Christ. So blessing number one, you have all spiritual blessings. Blessing number two, you've been made holy in the sight of God. Number three, he has predestined us to be sons. And that's Ephesians 1:5. We were foreordained, and your fill in there is predestined. Having predestined us to adoption as his sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And I just want to share something. In my Passion Bible, it says in the Greek, means actually to the praise of the glory of his grace. We have been predestined to walk with him. Amen. So we are the children of God. We are adopted into God's family. God has adopted us by Jesus himself, according to the pleasure and his will, to the praise and glory of his grace. Hallelujah. And Psalm 139, verse 16 states that your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, as yet there was none of them. So that means he knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. And if you study that scripture, he's been journaling about you all the days of your life. So that means virtually every day of your life, a story has been written about you from God himself. He's written all about you. He knows everything about you. Everything about me, he knows everything about me. He knows that we were going to be sitting here 1,973 years after Paul. He knew we'd be sitting here. Because one day to Jesus is what? Like 1,000 years, right? One day. So he knew that we'd be sitting here on this night at River of Life Church. He knew that we'd be gathered here. He knew that Pastor Ina and Pastor David would be sitting right where they're seated. He knew that Carolyn and Ron would be seated right where they're seated. He knew that. He knew that we're because he journaled about every single one of you. Imagine reading that book. And one day, Carolyn and Ron came to North Carolina. You know, we each have a journey. We each have a story. We each have a destiny in the Lord. We've been adopted. We've been predestined to walk this walk with the Lord. He knew us before we were ever even formed in our mother's wombs. He knew all about us. Okay. All right. So where was I here? Let me see. Okay. So there's a scripture that's not in your notes, and I just have it written down. It's Galatians 3:26. And it says, for you are sons of God through the faith in Jesus Christ. So we are his sons and we are his daughters. Amen. He marked out your horizon, or he marked out your destiny before you ever were. He knew exactly what you were going to do in this life. Amen? All right. Sometimes we take a little detour. Sometimes we detour. And that's nothing about God. That's about us. And that's about us and our stinking thinking, you know. That's about us getting into our flesh, you know. And we take a little detour, and then we wonder why God's not answering our prayer, you know, because we've detoured off the shelf, you know. We've done something we shouldn't have done. But God's plan and God's purpose for you is for good. And so he preordained you and I to walk a perfect life in him. That's how he sees it. But we detour sometimes and get a little bit caught up, you know, or we lose, maybe get into doubt or get into unbelief, and it kind of derails us for a little while. But we know better. Quickly we come and we send it to the cross. We say, Lord, we're sorry. We send it to the cross, and we quickly get back on the plan and the destiny that he has for you and I. Amen. All right. All right. So number four, he has made us accepted. So we have all spiritual blessings. We've been made holy. We've been predestined. And now he's made us accepted in God. So to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He has engraced us literally brought us into this grace walk with him. He made us objects of Christ. And I looked up the word grace, and I know we all know what it means, but I love this one translation that I found. It's the spontaneous, unmerited gift of divine favor in the area of salvation of sinners and divine influence. Say, I've got divine influence. We have it. Operating in individuals. So this is this grace operating on the inside of you and me for regeneration and sanctification. So God's grace works in us, producing sanctification, producing all the goodness of God that God has through his son, Jesus Christ. So grace causes those things to flow. Undivine, unmerited favor should be following you and me everywhere we go. Say it follows me. Yeah, everywhere we go, it follows us. So when you go into your workplace, they ought to be happy that you're coming to work there. So they ought to be saying, thank you, Jesus, Sue works here, right? Thank you, Jesus, Bobby works here, right? Thank you, Jesus, Diane works here. Because when we go to work, we bring the blessings of Jesus Christ on that scene. We bring it in there. So when I go to work and I sell Chanel, I say, Lord, I thank you that you bless the works of my hands. And Father, I thank you that I become that person today that you want me to be. And I thank you that I bring the blessings of Christ right into this department store. So today we will make our day. We'll make our day and we'll go above and beyond. Lord, I thank you for a 15, 20% increase today. God, I thank you, Father, because I don't expect anything less because our hands are blessed in the work that we do. So our employers should be happy that we work for them. So, and if we get the attitude in our mind and in our spirit, we get the attitude that we're blessed and we're blessed to be a blessing, then everywhere we go, blessings follow us. Amen. So say with me, blessings follow me everywhere I go, everywhere we go. Why? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. All right. So number five, here's your next blessing. So, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So, he has redeemed us, verse 7, by the blood. So, let's take a look at that one. In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So, he has redeemed us by his blood. This is the price that God paid to manifest his grace and adopt us as sons and daughters. We now have the riches of this grace, the unsearchable riches found in Christ Jesus. We now have it because of what happened to him on the cross that day. Romans 8, verse 2. This is not in your notes, I don't think. Can we read it? Right? I do have it there. Okay. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we never have any reason to feel condemned. Because it's been through Jesus, the spirit of life has set me free from death. Amen? And it's his blood that set us free from there. We escape the sentence, I wrote this in my notes, we escape the sentence of spiritual death that our sins justly warranted. So we escaped that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So number six, he has abounded toward us in all wisdom, so which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So I just want to stay on this just for a moment. So he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This wisdom, which enables men to judge what are the best ends and the best means of attaining them. Prudence is the practical wisdom applied in the best time and manner to secure the best end. So in other words, if you're in a problem or you're in a circumstance and you need the wisdom of God, then the wisdom of God that's on the inside of you will cause you to get to the best end that you need to be at. It'll cause you to see the answer before the answer comes, because wisdom is already in you. It's part of the blessings of the Lord. You already have the wisdom on the inside of you because Christ Jesus lives on the inside of you. Say with me, I already have wisdom. Because wisdom comes in the form of a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he lives on the inside of you. So you have all knowledge on the inside of you. You have it because the person of Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. Amen. Have you ever put your hand on the Bible and you've said to the Lord, Lord, I've got to get this. Have you ever said that? That's me sometimes. I'll put my hand on my Bible and I'm reading something or I'm studying something and I'm like, Lord, I got to get this in my stinking thinking. You know, I want to get how it actually happened. I need a revelation of this, God. I need to have this in my spirit, man. I need to understand what you're saying. How many of you ever asked the Lord that when you've been seeking God and studying? You know, God will give you that. That's why Solomon has such wisdom, because he sought after the right thing. So when you open up your Bible, you open up the Word of God to spend time with the Lord, ask him. Ask him for wisdom and ask him for knowledge. Ask him to open up the bread and show you. Show you exactly what he wants you to learn out of that scripture. Amen? And he'll do it. He'll do it every time. Amen? Because he's wisdom, and wisdom lives on the inside of you and me. Amen? One translation actually says that he lavishes wisdom upon his church. So he lavishes it. That's an abundance towards you and me. Amen? He just thrusts that wisdom towards you and I. Hallelujah. Okay. So he, number seven, he has made known to us his will that the Gentiles should be, say, I'm a Gentile, should be partakers also with Christ. Hallelujah. So we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We are blessed and holy. We are predestined. We've been accepted. We've been redeemed by the blood. He's abounded toward us in all wisdom, and we are partakers also with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we partake with everything about Jesus. So having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So he's made known this. So say, I'm a partaker with Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. Number eight, he gave us an inheritance. Yes. So he gave you and I an inheritance, Ephesians 1:11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of his will, who works all things according to his counsel and the counsel of his will. So along with all other blessings, we now possess this inheritance by promise. Amen. Do I have Psalms 33 written in there? I do. 33 verse 12. Says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Hallelujah. I believe that we should be praying that every single day for the United States of America. So I believe that we are a nation. I'm going to get off just a little bit. We are a nation that was founded under godly principles. We're a nation that was founded. Our forefathers loved Jesus. They wanted freedom of religion. They wanted to be able to express themselves. And they came here and they founded this country. And so the Word of God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we used to have prayer in school. We used to have a reverence for the things of God. And that's kind of left our nation. It's kind of hitting the back road. But the Bible says that we're blessed when we have it. The people he's chosen for his own inheritance. There's an inheritance for the United States of America. There is one. So it's time for Christians to begin saying, thank you, Lord, for blessing the United States of America. So many times we're spewing judgment out of our mouth and we focus on the sin. So we focus on the darkness that's going on in our nation. And it's easy to focus on those things. And we see the news, or we hear somebody say something, or we receive something, or something crazy happens, and we focus on the evil and we stop focusing on the good. But God is calling for his church to focus on whatsoever things are good and pure, if there be a good report, anything lovely, any virtue, think upon these things, right? So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So Father, we thank you that the United States, this nation belongs to you. So we thank you that there's a seed that's been planted in the ground in this country. And we're watering that seed tonight. And we're thanking you, God, for blessing seeing this nation. Father, we choose not to see the bad, but we choose to see the good, Father. And we thank you, God, that there's an emergence coming. There's a harvest coming into the kingdom. It's coming in this year. It's going to begin in a stronger way. I hear the Lord say, and God's going to begin bringing the blessings into this house, I hear God say. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose nation belongs to him. So, Father, we thank you, God, that this nation belongs to you. And we call it blessed, Father. We don't look at the turmoil, but we call this nation blessed because the hope of glory lives on the inside of us. And the church of Jesus Christ is beginning to arise. And Father, we thank you, God, that we arise in your strength and in your ability. Father, we thank you, God, that we, yes, we have an inheritance in you, God, and we will see that inheritance come to pass. The harvest of God's kingdom, the harvest flow of the kingdom of God is coming back into the house of the Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen? All right. So let's see. Where did I leave off? Okay. So isn't God good? Yes. All right. So he gave us an inheritance, and our inheritance is the salvation of Jesus Christ. Our inheritance is to see the body come together united and to see the harvest of God come into his church. The enemy wants to bring obstacles, and he wants to bring storms, and he wants to bring trials. He wants to bring sickness. He wants to bring all of those things to distract you and I from what God is really doing. And God is doing something so powerful that eye has not seen nor ear heard what God is beginning to do in this land that we live in. So I refuse to defuse. I'm not going to go and be on that side of the camp. I'm going to stand continuing and believing that the prodigals are coming home, that the blessings of God follow me and they follow the church. I'm going to continue to believe that the church is the most powerful force on the face of this earth. We are his church, and we are the most powerful people ever to exist because the hope of glory lives on the inside of us. So I think that if we get that mindset and we come together in that mind, there's nothing that the Lord won't do for his church because that unity commands the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. So he gave us an inheritance. So also Titus 3:7, I don't think this is in your notes, but it says, so that being justified with his grace, he made us heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So even in Titus, it says we've been made heirs of this eternal life with Jesus Christ. So we are partakers with him. We've been accepted with him. We are blessed with him. His blood cleanses you and I. He's made us holy and acceptable in his sight. We've been adopted into the kingdom of God. There's nothing that God can't do through his church. Amen. All right. So number 9, Titus 3:7. And the other one was Psalm 33:12, but I think I had that one written down. Yeah. Okay. Number 9. And he has sealed us with his Spirit. Ah, thank you, Jesus. So look at your neighbor and say, I've been sealed. Yes. There's another translation that says we've been stamped. You know, it's like you give a stamp of approval. You know, you get ordained and that stamp goes on that, you know, or you receive your license for something and you get that seal, that stamp. We've been stamped into Jesus Christ. We've been sealed into him. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at your neighbor and say, I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yes. And I would encourage you that after you have studied, after you have perhaps meditated on the word, after you've prayed, I would encourage you to put a soaking CD on or find a quiet place where you can just worship with the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you to find time to bathe yourself in his presence. You'll come out renewed. You'll come out refreshed. You'll come out invigorated. You'll come out filled with the power and with the presence of the Lord. Some of the most powerful times in my life has been when I've spent time in the presence of the Lord. When I've heard the Lord say, come away with me now. And then I just run and come away with him. So those are powerful moments, and I would encourage each one to do that. Amen. You'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So he has sealed us with the Spirit. Having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit with promise. And he who has the Spirit of God, that seal belongs to the heavenly family. So we belong there. We belong with him. We've been stamped. Hallelujah. So let's see what time it is. Okay. Paul was not only telling them about the blessings in this chapter, he also praised the for the blessings, that our eyes would be open and that we would understand, that we would know the greatness of his power towards us who believe. Now, you got to get the picture of Paul when he was in prison and he's writing this to the church at Ephesus. And he's telling them that your eyes would be open, that your ears would open, that you would have the spirit of understanding what is the greatness of God's power that lives on the inside of you. And I think we miss that sometimes. We get in our mundane and we just get agreeing with people. Like, you know, I got a headache, so you agree with them. Oh, that's too bad, you take some Advil today. Like, what was that? Where'd that come from? You know, that's come from the ways of the world. Because we still have that little bit of humanism on the inside of us. So the first thing we want to do is pamper that. You know, so we want to pamper that, you know. And that was like with my foot. You know, I'd hurt my foot, and I bought I don't know how many pairs of shoes to try to wear to fix my foot. And I put a boot on my foot and tried all these sneakers on my foot and complained about my foot. And, you know, kept, you know, having people pray for me for my foot. And, you know, I got really carried away with my foot. And then one day the Lord said to me, when you stop complaining, I'll heal it. You know, you can have it then. Just stop complaining about it, Kimberly. I've already done it, you know. And so it was a rebuke for me. He often talks to me like that. Okay, so I just stopped. And so no, you didn't hear me talk about my foot anymore. I didn't get up on a Tuesday talk about my foot. I didn't get up on a Wednesday talk about my foot. You didn't hear me talking about it anymore. I gave all those shoes away that I bought to take care of my foot. So I gave all that away. And so I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to believe this foot's healed. I'm not going to meditate on it. I'm not going to think about it. The pain is there, but I'm still going to get up and go walk. I'm going to walk my dog, and I'm still going to do the things that I need to do. And you know what? I walked myself right out of it. So it was completely gone. Now I'm back in my high heel shoes, and I'm so excited because I stopped complaining about the thing that was wanting to hold me down. And so sometimes we get caught in that realm. We get in that stinking thinking. We get in that mode, you know, where we want to pamper something that's going on when God wants us to stand upon his word. God wants us to stand and realize that we carry all of the power of the kingdom of heaven already on the inside of us. So it takes a little time to get that out of us, right? So it took time to get that out of me. You know, I learned how to heal a headache. I learned how to heal a bruised knee. I learned how to, now I'm walking in my healing with my feet. So step by step, he'll lead you. Amen. All right. So Paul was praying this prayer. He was writing to them, and he was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he told them that your eyes would be open, that you would understand, and that you would know the greatness of his power toward us who believe. This mighty power was wrought in Christ. And verse 20, he was raised from the dead. He exalted him at his own right hand. Can I pull up? Do I have Psalm 110 back there? Verse 1. Let's see. Yep. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So he exalted him at his own right hand. And the Lord said, sit at my right hand and I'll make the enemy your footstool. So he's under our feet. Okay. I think I might have given you this testimony before, but I'm going to tell you it again. I was in ministry school back in 2013. And on Monday night, we had the School of the Supernatural. And this one lady had come in, God bless her. She come in, and we were all sitting down. And before we would start the class, Bill would have us all just kind of sit and just wait on the Holy Spirit. And he might call on somebody to open up the service to pray. And this woman, she came in and she sat down and she just started telling Bill all about what she'd been through that day and the days before. And so we were all sitting in class waiting to wait on the Holy Spirit while she was talking. And so I was wondering what he was going to say, you know, because we're all waiting to open up the class. God bless this lady. And many of us do that. You know, many of us think about our day and think about how hard our day was. Well, our day was so hard. Thank God I made it to church, you know. And that might come out of our mouth once in a while. But here was this woman, and she was complaining, and the devil had chased her around and had done all these crazy things to her that day. And finally, when she was all done, he looked at this precious lady, and he said, why did you let the enemy out? Why? It's like Isabel said, you got a circus going on, but don't let the monkeys out. You know, why'd you let the monkeys out? And Bill was saying, why did you let them out? Like, why did you let the devil out? And she just looked at him, you know, and he just looked at her, and she's looking back at him. And he says, I asked you a question. Why did you let him out? You know, you have all of the, it was a supernatural, the power of the supernatural class. So you have all of the power already on the inside of you. So the longer you give credit to the devil, the more the devil's going to come after you. The longer you give credit to sin, the more sin is going to come after you. The more you give credit to Jesus, the more of the glory of God is going to follow you. Amen. So we have to somehow understand that the devil is under our feet. And verse 22 says it very clearly. He has put all things under his feet. He gave to him to be the headship of the church, Jesus Christ. So the headship of Christ is over every single principality, over all power, all might, all dominion, every name, over all the world and the world to come, over the church and over every man and all people. We are his body, and we are complete in him. Look at your neighbor and say, I am complete in him. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil can't do anything to me. Yeah, look at your neighbor and say, because he's a liar. Yeah, and I choose not to believe him. Yes, we choose not to believe him. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings, everything. Everything, we can rest in the completed work of Jesus Christ. We can rest in God's grace because of the finished work. Now listen, you have every spiritual blessing. You have been chosen to be holy before God. You are predestined. You were foreordained to be adopted into the kingdom of God. You are accepted. Yes, you've been redeemed by his blood. Just one drop of his blood would have been enough, by the way. We have his wisdom. We've been made partakers, and he gave you and I an inheritance. Say that. Sit, look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to get that inheritance. Yes, yes. And we have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of you and I. There is nothing that the enemy can ever do to you unless you let him. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to let him. Not going to let him. So I let him chase me around with my foot for a long time. And then finally I got rebuked, and then I decided I wasn't going to let him anymore. I said, okay, God, you got this. So if you're facing a trial or you're facing something, you have to see yourself in the mirror of Jesus Christ. You have to see yourself in his image and in his likeness. You have to see that you are a reflection of God's divine glory on the inside of you. You reflect all of the goodness of the kingdom of God, all of the graces of the kingdom of God. You reflect that because the hope of glory lives on the inside of you. Amen. So when you're facing a trial or you wake up and you're in pain or something's going on, remind yourself that the greater one lives on the inside of you. He's in there, the hope of glory. As he is in this world, so are we. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, like Jesse Duplantis says, eat your heart out, baby, because what God made good, right? So you got to tell yourself that sometimes, you know. You get up and you're having a bad hair day, you know, or you think you got to put some makeup on, or, you know, I better put some lipstick on so people don't think I'm tired, you know. And so you do all this stuff, but when you look in the mirror, you got to say, eat your heart out, baby, because what God made good, and he made me, and I am precious in God's sight, and every spiritual blessing I already have. Amen. I love you guys. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, yeah, let's do it. Want to do the confession? Okay. You can stand up with me, and then we're going to come, and we're going to get in a circle. We're going to make a confession. We can make this, we can give this to you. Thank you, Gianna. We can give this to you, but this is a health confession by Andrew Womack. And so we'll get you all, make sure you all have a copy of this. But this is really powerful. This is something that you could say every day. And it comes from several different passages of scripture, but it's powerful. So I'll read and you can follow after me. How about that? So I'll say, I am already healed by the stripes of Jesus. I already have the same power inside of me that raised Jesus from the dead. I have the authority and power. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. So I dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And he says, he is my refuge and my fortress against any sickness. The Lord delivers me from the snare of the devil and the deadly pestilence. Save me, it can't harm me. Okay. No plague will come nigh my dwelling, which means no germ can touch me and live. I am a germs or viruses worst nightmare. Yes, I can have what I say. If I don't, doubt in my heart. Therefore, I say sickness has no power over me. The Lord blesses my bread and water and turns sickness off my body. Go like this. Off my body. Off my body. Okay. All right. So I was, am, and shall be the healed of the Lord through faith in what Jesus has done for me. Amen. That's a hallelujah right there. Hallelujah. You can clap and join in the circle with us. You want to do this? Or we have Ina do this? Yeah.